Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Black holes, the cosmos, space and time travel, science and technology, brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku,
and GCNLive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. On Science Fantastic, we profile the amazing, jaw-dropping scientific discoveries which are revolutionizing the world and touching our lives. And in this hour, once again, we're going to throw the lines open because this hour is your hour. This is the time when you can get to the telephones and call 612-564-8135. You can talk back to the radio. That's right. How many times have you been listening to the evening news? And there's all these stories about science and technology, stories about computers, about jobs, about DNA, about cancer research, about the space program. But there's no one to talk to. There's nobody that you can bounce ideas off. So what are you going to do? You're going to talk to me. You're going to give me a call by calling 612-564-8135. And all you have to do is leave your name, the call letters of the radio station you're listening to, and the city you're calling from, and then ask that question. Make that comment. Ask that question that you've always wanted to ask but never had the opportunity. Let's say you're having dinner with the kids, and all of a sudden one of your kids asks you a science question that leaves you stumped. What are you going to do? You're going to get to the phones and call 612-564-8135 and put them on the telephone. That's right, put your kids on the phone and have them ask that question that has puzzled the entire class for their homework assignment. And so once again, if you want to be part of the March of Science, then give us a call at 612-564-8135. And also, if you want to find out what I'm doing, go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org. You can find out about the 4 New York Times bestsellers that I've written, books like The Future of the Mind, about the future of telepathy and telekinesis, about the future of humanity, about the future of the space program, about physics of the impossible, what physics will look like maybe 500 years from now when we have starships and perhaps teleportation and perhaps all those things that you see featured in Star Trek. So, once again, go to my website, mkaku.org, or go to my Facebook site, Michio Kaku. We have over 3 million fans on Facebook, and over 600,000 fans on Twitter. So, find out what all the excitement is about by giving us a call. Okay, let's move on now to the first listener phone call.
Earl Smith. Listening to KEYS in Corpus Christi, Texas. I have a question. I understand that on a number line between, say, number 1 and number 2, there are an infinite number of points. But how is it that I can arrange my finger to be 90 degrees to the number line, and I can run my finger across that line and pass over each one of those points? Thank you.
Well, you ask a variation of the Zeno paradox, which is literally 2,000 years old. Zeno, the great Greek philosopher, had a proof, and the proof was that motion was impossible. That's right. Nothing can move. And he proves it exactly the way you mentioned. If I take a river and I mark two points on it, the beginning on one side of the river to the end of the river, and then I ask a simple question, how long does it take to go between two points? You realize that there are an infinite number of points between point A and point B, and it takes an infinite amount of time to go through an infinite number of points. Therefore, said Zeno, nothing can move. Motion itself, he said, was impossible because it takes an infinite amount of time to pass through an infinite number of points. Ergo, motion was impossible. Well, on one hand, people thought he was nuts. I mean, what? Of course things can move. But if you think about it, how many points are there between points A and B? And then you begin to realize, hey, this is really a deep question. And it was finally solved by people like Isaac Newton and the mathematicians of the 1700s and 1800s when they invented calculus. They showed that it takes a finite amount of time to move through an infinite number of points if you very carefully divide up the interval and take the limits correctly. And so this is the beginning of calculus, which on one hand seems impossible because you are talking about dividing up a point into an infinite number of intervals. And motion, which obviously exists. I mean, things obviously move. Any idiot knows that. But if you think about it, what is the smallest distance? Well, today we have a more modern view of that question. And that is, what is the smallest distance between two points? We once thought it was the atom. That the atom was the smallest object, and therefore the atom was the smallest distance that you can make between two points. But now we split the atom. We have now protons and neutrons, which are even smaller than an atom. And now we can even bust up the protons into quarks. And so we're back to Zeno's paradox again after 2,000 years. What is, therefore, the smallest distance? Well, we're not sure. But many physicists believe that the smallest distance is the size of a string. The string is extremely small, 10 to the minus 33 centimeters, is the smallest distance that has ever entered the annals of physics. And we think that that is the smallest distance of all. And that, therefore, Zeno, in some sense, was onto something. He thought this went on forever. But we physicists think, no, it stops. We're not sure, but we think it stops at the size of a string. And if you want to know more about string theory, get a copy of one of my earlier books, Hyperspace, which talks about vibrating strings in 10 and 11 dimensional hyperspace. We think that is a theory that eluded Einstein, because Einstein wanted a theory that would allow him to, quote, read the mind of God. So find out more about this by getting a copy of my earlier book, Hyperspace. Okay, let's move on now to the next listener phone call.
This is Denise Miller, and I'm calling from Corpus Christi, Texas. And my the station that I'm listening to is KEYS Radio. And I've listened to you many times before when you were at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I just want to tell you, even if I'm not able to get on to speak to you, I really have enjoyed your program. You're a real thought provoker. My question is, with all this robotic stuff, where does faith and religion and feelings come in? Thank you. This is Denise Miller.
Well, you asked one of the big questions, and that is, what is the relationship between humans and robots as we go into the future? Are robots going to be unfeeling? Are we going to become more robotic? What is the relationship when robots gradually approach human intelligence? Well, first of all, let me give you a time frame. Robots today have the intelligence and emotional ability of a cockroach, so don't expect robots to replace us anytime soon. However, However, let's take a short commercial break. And after the break, we'll talk about robots that can feel, robots that have emotions. And what does it mean when one day robots can be emotional just like us? Give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. And maybe you can get on Science Fantastic.
For 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
You've heard that supply lines are down or moving slow. And that most everything costs more these days. But good news. High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable and easy to clean. So, this year, give the gift of pain relief. An extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. On Science Fantastic, we profile some of the most amazing developments in science. And before the break, we had a question from a listener asking about, well, what happens when robots gradually become like us? And then the question is, what about emotions and feelings? And how close can robots come close to us? Well, first of all, there is such a thing as a science of emotions. At MIT, for example, at the Artificial Intelligence Laboratory, they're trying to create emotional robots. Now, you may say to yourself, why? Why would anyone want to create a robot that can cry or laugh? Well, first of all, some of these robots already have a practical application, and that is they're used in nursing homes where people get lonely and need a companion, and they want to talk to something. Of course, you can't have a caretaker there 24 hours a day. However, emotional robots are one pioneering area that MIT scientists are looking into. First of all, it's rather easy to simply understand the emotions of the face. Face recognition technology already has given us the ability to identify anger and puzzlement and things like that in the human face. That's not the problem. Also, we can mimic the muscles of the human face to mimic fear and mimic joy and things like that. That's not the problem either. The problem is to figure out when things are appropriate. Because if you give the wrong emotion for a certain situation, people get insulted. They get angry. If, for example, you're grieving because a relative died, and here's this wiseacre robot laughing and joking, you get insulted. And so it's much more complicated to figure out when certain emotions are to be required and when certain emotions are not to be used. But again, the first application is in places where we have loneliness. And we also see them in Japan. In Japan, where we have an aging population, and also at MIT, where we have experiments done on nursing homes, we find that these emotional robots are actually quite good, that they do give a sense of companionship to people who are normally lonely and cannot afford to have 24-hour care. That, of course, is not the real thing. But it's better than nothing. And as time goes by, we'll have robots that are more and more accurate in terms of their understanding the emotional state of another person. Now, if you watch Star Trek, there is Data, the robot that wants to become human. And we find that things are done inappropriately. Data laughs at the wrong points, misunderstands simple human behaviors, and it's going to take time. But it's not out of the question. The difficult thing is to figure out when certain emotions are appropriate and when certain emotions are not appropriate. And then the next question is, can the robots really feel this thing, or is it simply mimicking, like a tape recorder, an emotion? In other words, if a robot seems to cry, is the robot really crying because it feels bad, or is it simply pushing a button that says, time to cry? Well, I think the two are quite different today because our technology is quite primitive. But as time goes by, in the future, the two will become indistinguishable. That is, robots which can push the button which says, time to cry, and actually, quote, feeling crying, feeling sadness, will become closer and closer with time, so that for all intents and purposes, we will be able to interact with robots that feel sad. Now, I should also point out that there's something called the uncanny valley. Now, let's say that you get a robot that is emotional, but it's not quite there, doesn't quite look human, but tries to be human, and makes emotions that are slightly inappropriate. What do? You get the creeps. You say, this is really creepy. For example, think of Halloween. During Halloween, what do you have? Inappropriate emotions. You see ghouls and monsters smiling at you, and it freaks us out. We feel really creepy seeing somebody that is obviously a monster grinning and smiling at us. So inappropriate emotions make our skin crawl. And this is called the uncanny valley. If a robot is quite unhuman looking, we can look at it, laugh at it, and analyze it. But as it becomes more and more human-like, and and still makes slight mistakes and is not quite looking human, we get a creepy feeling, and that's called the uncanny valley. And then, of course, when the robot has perfect emotions and perfect feeling, then we accept it as a sentient being. But before then, we get the creeps. And, of course, at Halloween, many people who make Halloween masks know this, inappropriate emotions. And that's going to be a problem for robots for quite a while, to get the emotions right. For example, one scientist pointed out to me that if you have a father with a towel slapping the butt of a son, on one hand, the son could say, oh, my father is being playful, and the son will start to laugh when the father whips a towel at the son's butt. But if it hurts, and the father starts to grin in a bad way, then the son starts to cry because he knows that it was meant as punishment. So the slightest difference in a person's facial expression can signal the difference between happiness and sadness. And at the present time, robots are far from being able to master these simple emotions. Okay, let's move on to the next listener phone call.
Paul Kruger, Interlochen, Florida. I'm just responding to a tweet. This is the question. In the search for dark matter and dark energy, is there a possible link between these and primordial antimatter? What became of the energy released when said antimatter was annihilated by matter at the time of the Big Bang, and could that be related to dark stuff?
Well, you ask a question for which there's no simple answer, but first of all, let's define the terms. Dark matter, we know, exists, but it's invisible. And we have maps of dark matter, but no one's ever seen dark matter on the planet Earth. Therefore, it's one of the most mysterious of all substances, but ironically enough, it makes up most of the universe. Most of the matter, by a factor of 10, most of the matter in the universe is actually not ordinary matter at all. It's dark matter. Then there's dark energy, which is the energy of the vacuum. It is also invisible, and it is responsible for pushing the galaxies apart, and that's called the Big Bang. So you got that? Dark matter surrounds the galaxy, holds the galaxy together, is invisible, but is ordinary matter. Then we have dark energy, which is energy that is pushing the galaxies apart, and that is causing the expansion of the universe. Then, if that's not complicated enough, we have antimatter. Now, antimatter already exists. It was postulated around 1928 by physicist Paul Dirac. And he realized that Einstein's equation, E equals mc squared, was not quite right. When you take the equation E equals mc squared, which even children know, you have to take a square root. And therefore, it's actually E equals plus or minus mc squared. I repeat, Einstein's famous equation is actually slightly wrong. Einstein, of course, knew this. The correct equation is E equals plus or minus mc squared, but the minus was once thought to be rather useless. I mean, who needs negative matter, right? Well, this is where antimatter comes in, because then Dirac stated that, well, you just can't throw away the minus sign. It has a role to play, and that is antimatter. Now, antimatter is visible. We don't know what it looks like, but if you had enough of it, it should look like ordinary matter. It has all the electrical properties of ordinary matter. And so we think if you have anti-atoms, you can eventually create anti-molecules and eventually anti-objects and anti-people. That's right. We think we can create people made out of antimatter. Of course, we haven't done that. We've only made tiny snippets of antimatter in the laboratory. In fact, when I was in high school, I played with antimatter for my science fair project. So then the question is there a relationship between all three? First of all, antimatter is not dark matter. We can rule that out right now, because dark matter does not have charge. Antimatter does. And so we can rule that out immediately. But what about dark matter and dark energy? The short answer is we don't know. However, let's take a short commercial break. And after the break, I'll give you the leading theory about what dark matter is. Give us a call at 612-564-8135, and maybe you can get on Science Fantastic.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Biden and his wife Jill spent part of their Christmas Eve visiting patients at the Children's National Hospital in Washington, D.C.
We're wishing you all a Merry Christmas and a Happy Holiday, but most of all, health. Good health in the new year to all of you kids and to your parents and your families.
There's a long-standing tradition of first ladies celebrating the holidays at the hospital. But according to the White House, this is the first time a sitting president has taken part in the ceremony. Omicron has hit the airlines hard. More than 2,000 flights have been canceled due to staffing and other shortages. Many Christmas travelers are stranded at the airport. Michelle and John Page were traveling from Southern California.
We had to switch airports. They canceled flights out of San Diego, canceled flights out of Orange County, and then everybody had to go to LAX to get here.
This is USA Radio News. If you're still waiting for Santa Claus to arrive with your presents, the North American Aerospace Defense Command is once again tracking Santa Claus's journey across the globe with updates available online. NORAD, which is responsible for airspace security over the United States and Canada, are tracking him, and you can watch live on NORAD's website. You can also call the hotline at 1-877-HI-NORAD. They've been tracking Santa since 1955, when a local newspaper's ad for a hotline to allow children to speak to Santa featured a number misprint. Instead of reaching Santa Claus, the phone rang through to the crew commander on duty, the U.S. Air Force Colonel Harry Shoup. He worked at the Continental Air Defense Commander Operations Center, which was the predecessor to NORAD. Colonel Shoup quickly realized a mistake had been made, and he assured the children that he was Santa. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hey, y'all. Jeff Foxworthy here. Now, if you've ever found yourself repeating the same thing over and over for 75 years, you might be Smokey Bear.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's why I'm filling in for Smokey to switch things up, because there's a lot more to say. And I should know, because my grandfather was a firefighter. And one of the things he taught me is that the people that love the outdoors the most are often the ones accidentally starting wildfires, which means always BYOB. No, bring your own bucket to the campfire. And be extra careful with things like burning yard trimmings. Don't just walk away, or chances are you might be starting a wildfire. So for the love of the outdoors, go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Science Fantastic.
Welcome Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, the lines are open. You're not going to get a busy signal. You get right to us. So the number to call, if you want to ask that question that's always been bothering you about science, you can call us at 612-564-8135. And again, leave your name, call letters of the radio station you're listening to, the city you're calling from, and ask that question. Make that comment that's always been bugging you about science. Okay, well, before the break, we had a quick question about three things, dark matter, dark energy, and antimatter. What's the relationship between all three? First of all, antimatter exists. We create beams of antimatter at the Large Hadron Collider outside Geneva, Switzerland. So antimatter is not the mystery that it used to be decades ago. In fact, on Star Trek, it is absolutely true that maybe one day we'll have antimatter engines. Not at the present time. Antimatter is extremely expensive to make. It would cost trillions of dollars to make even a few grams of antimatter. So antimatter is not so mysterious. But dark energy is mysterious. We simply don't know what dark matter and dark energy are. Dark matter holds the galaxy together, so we know how important it is. Without dark matter, our galaxy would have flung apart billions of years ago. The leading theory of dark matter, which is not proven, the leading theory is that it's a higher octave of the string, that we are the lowest vibration of tiny vibrating strings. The universe is a symphony of strings, and we just happen to be the lowest octave. However, everybody knows there are other octaves out there, higher notes. And these higher notes have names. One of them is the Photino. And the Photino is, in fact, the leading candidate for dark matter. So we think that dark matter is ordinary matter vibrating at a much different frequency, and the frequency given by string theory. And if you want to know more about this, get a copy of my book, Parallel Worlds, where I talk about dark matter and string theory. Okay, let's move on to the next listener phone call.
Hello, Dr. Kaku. My name is Albert. I'm in San Jose, California, and I listen to you on YouTube. First of all, as always, I think it's a great honor to be able to ask you a question. First of all, about parallel universes and time travel, I'm a little bit somewhat confused. I want to ask you something about this. Suppose you want to go back in time, that there's a method. Now, the steps involved in the method, how would you choose which parallel universe to go back into time to avoid the paradox? In other words, if you go back in one parallel universe that does not, maybe nature has somehow safeguarded, if I'm not, correct me if I'm not right, nature won't allow us to go back in time in this same universe, only in parallel universes, to avoid the paradox. So I just wanted to clear that up a little bit. So yeah, if you go back in time, okay, and let's say you always had that little example, you met your mother and you fell in love with her and so forth and so on. A little amusing. But it's true, though. Then there would not be any type of paradox, would it? Thank you. Have a great day. Thank you.
Okay, well, I'll answer that question after the break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. And after the break, I'm going to answer the question. What happens if you go backwards in time and your mother falls in love with you before you're born? You're in deep doo-doo if that happens. Well, stay tuned, and we'll answer the question of what happens when you go backwards in time and really mess things up. Give us a call at 612-564-8135.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen.
And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best, deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late. In 17 years, Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
I represent low-cost airlines, and we know a lot of you are not traveling right now, and we understand. However, if you do need to travel between now and the end of the year, now is a great time to lock in some of the lowest prices we've seen in a lifetime. Hey, in normal times, we can save you up to 75%, but now airlines are practically giving away seats. We have inside deals on over 500 airlines. Here are a few sample round-trip deals we found. Seattle to Vegas, $35. Chicago to Atlanta, $85. Los Angeles to Atlanta, $100. Of course, there are some limitations, but the airlines want your business right now. And cancellation and change fees are flexible. So fly somewhere this year, book now, save a ton, call right now.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Well, welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Before the break, we had a question about time travel. What happens if you go backwards in time and really mess up the past so that the present is not possible? The simplest time travel, which gives you a paradox, is you go backwards in time and meet yourself as a young kid, and then you kill him. What happens? You just committed suicide in the past, so how could you be born? How could you be alive to go backwards in time when you just killed yourself in the past? Well, what happens if you go backwards in time and your mother falls in love with you before you're born? How can you be born if your father and mother never got together because you interfered? Well, the brain goes crazy thinking about these things, but let me summarize the state of affairs. First of all, Einstein thought that time is not a straight arrow, like Newton thought, but more like a river. A river which can bend and meander. And the new wrinkle that even Einstein realized is that the river of time can have forks. Forks in the river of time and whirlpools. If you have a whirlpool in the river of time, then time travel is possible, and all the paradoxes of time travel have to be taken very seriously. And then in 1949, Kurt Gödel, the famous mathematician, one of the greatest mathematicians of the millennia, came up with the solution of Einstein's equation. equation which did allow for time travel. If the universe rotated and you were to go around the rotating universe, you'd go backwards in time. Einstein was disturbed. He was really disturbed because here was a solution which seemed to defy common sense, staring at him in the face. In Einstein's memoirs, he said that we can dismiss this for physical reasons, i.e., the universe does not rotate. The universe expands, as in the Big Bang, but it means that if the universe did rotate, then time travel would be commonplace. Well, Einstein thought that was an anomaly, but since then, we physicists have discovered scores of time travel solutions, which makes things embarrassing. In fact, we even give them a name, CTC, closed time-like curves. So if you want to know how a scientist views time travel, don't Google time travel. You'll get all the science fiction. Instead, Google CTC, or closed time-like curves. And you're going to find out how real physicists deal with time travel. Now, how do we deal with the paradoxes? There are several ways of dealing with the paradoxes. The first way is something I don't believe in, and that's been proposed by Professor Novikov of Russia. And he says, when you go back in the past, things are self-consistent, so it was meant to be that way. You, in some sense, fulfill the past. It was meant to be that way, and there are no paradoxes. Well, personally, I find that really hard to believe, that if you go backwards in time and really mess things up, then it was meant to be that way, and so there are no paradoxes. I find it a little bit hard to believe that. I believe in the quantum theory, which simply says that you enter a parallel universe. In quantum mechanics, which is the leading theory of all matter, like atomic physics that we teach in graduate school, time can fork into two rivers. Each time a decision is made, the river of time forks into two rivers. These are called quantum events. And it simply means that if you go backwards in time, you enter a different time stream. So that when you save Abraham Lincoln from being assassinated at the Ford Theater, you're saving somebody else's Abraham Lincoln, not your own Abraham Lincoln. So there are no paradoxes. This means, of course, that there could be other parallel universes where things are messed up and things really are goofy, but that's a whole other question. So what does this have going for it? What it has going for it is that quantum mechanics, no matter how goofy it sounds, is really true. It really is the way things are. That our brain, which is classical and Newtonian, our brain, which believes that everything happens in definite states, that the past is the past and the future is the future, well, that's wrong. There are apparently other parallel universes. And then the last question that everyone asks is, can you go between universes? That is, if you go backwards in time, and let's say you wind up in a universe that you don't like, can you go backwards again and enter a different universe? Or let's say in one universe, a loved one is alive, in another parallel universe, a loved one is dead. Then the question is it possible to go between universes to bring back the dead? Well, it turns out that in principle, quantum mechanics does allow you to go between universes, but it is astronomically difficult. Don't expect anyone to do that anytime soon. In other words, it takes an energy of a black hole, fantastic energy, to do this. And it's not going to happen anytime soon. But let's take a short commercial break, and after the break, we'll get more into traveling between parallel universes. The number to call is 612-564-8135.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nanocolloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nanocolloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Honorary Forest Ranger Betty White here, lending a hand to my dear friend Smokey Bear, because for 75 years, he's only said,
"Only you can prevent wildfires."
But there's a lot more to say. Like, if you park your car on tall, dry grass, the hot exhaust pipe can start a wildfire. So be careful out there. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Before the break, we had a question about time travel. What do physicists think about going backwards in time to perhaps a parallel universe? Would that allow you to solve all the time travel paradoxes, like what happens if you kill your parents before you're born? And the answer is yes. If you wind up on a different timeline, then you kill your parents before you're born, then it turns out that the people that you just killed look like your parents, have the same genes as your parents, but are actually copies of your parents in a parallel universe. That's how we get around all the time travel paradoxes. So take any movie that you've seen about time travel and draw a timeline, and you can see how the timeline splits and breaks apart, but you can graph exactly what happens each time you enter the time machine. So there are no paradoxes. And then the last question is, can you move between parallel universes? In principle, the answer is yes, but to open up a parallel universe requires enormous amounts of energy comparable to a black hole. So don't think that any inventor is going to create a black hole and a time machine in their basement. It's not going to happen anytime soon. Now, some people think maybe there's a loophole there, because it turns out if you look at Einstein's equations very carefully, it depends on the speed of light. Therefore, if you could alter the speed of light, then the amount of energy necessary to build a time machine can be made smaller. In fact, there are some people who say, aha, that's the loophole in Einstein's equations which allow for time travel. Change the speed of light, which you can do in the laboratory. Well, not so fast. It turns out that in the laboratory, yeah, you can slow down time, but it's an illusion. In fact, I once took a film crew to Harvard University where we filmed this effect. We actually filmed the effect of light slowing down. Now, how does that work? Light in a vacuum always travels at the speed of light. So between two atoms, light is traveling at the speed of light. But when it hits an atom, it gets absorbed, and then a fraction of a second later, it's shot out again with a time delay. So the time delay gives you the illusion that light has slowed down. It hasn't slowed down at all. Between atoms, the speed of light is the speed of light. But because it hits an atom and is absorbed and then re-radiates a split second later, there's a delay time. For example, think of the early Pony Express. Remember way back in the 1800s before telegraph wires came in? People would get on horses and ride horses between point A and point B. Once they went to point B, they would rest, get on another horse, and then shoot again to point C. Well, of course, between outposts, you are traveling at the speed of a horse. But the average velocity was much less, giving you the illusion that the speed of the horse was less than it really is. So that's how the so-called loophole in Einstein's equations is not a loophole at all. In other words, to sum up, sorry about that, time travel still is extremely hard to perform, requiring energies comparable to a black hole. And we can barely control the energy of a furnace, let alone the power of a star or even that of a black hole. Sorry about that. Okay, let's move on to the next listener phone call.
My name is Chris Nelson. I'm calling from Toronto, Ontario. I have a question. During the last post-extinction of mankind 70,000 years ago, is it possible that we had were evolved enough and smart enough at that time to build the pyramids, to have built Atlantis, to actually had the vehicles that had flight, that we actually carved all the lines in Peru? That's my question. I'll wait for your answer. Thank you.
Okay, well, you ask a very interesting question. Let's break it down into its components. Yes, first of all, 70,000 years ago, roughly speaking, something happened that was catastrophic that killed off most humans. By looking at the DNA, you can recreate a genetic map of the human race showing that there is a pyramid, and at the tip of the pyramid is when early humans regenerated the entire human race. Something wiped out almost the entire human race, leaving only, ta-da, a few hundred, maybe 1,000 people to repopulate the entire Earth. Some catastrophe happened, and if you go to the geological history books, there was something catastrophic 70,000 or so years ago, and that was the eruption of the Toba volcano in Indonesia, which blanketed Africa with soot, changed the weather, destroyed much of the life and vegetation in Africa, and we think that's the reason why only a handful of us, a few hundred of us, survived to repopulate the entire human race. Now, that was about 70,000 years ago when it was still in the Ice Age. Then, 10,000 years ago, something magical happened. Because before then, we were still savages. We operated in small tribes of maybe 100, 200 people. We were scavengers in the ice. It was a hard living. Cities did not exist because, of course, if the buffalo left, if the antelope left, and you were still there in a city, you'd starve to death. You followed the game. This was before farming. As a consequence, we lived in small pockets with no accumulated technology. The technology necessary to cut stone and to create advanced tools and clothing did not exist because we had to carry on your back everything that you owned. We were nomads. Nomads going between point A and point B, desperately trying to find food. Then the ice melted 10,000 years ago. Then we started to get get cities and accumulate knowledge, which then gave us, about 5,000 or so years ago, the pyramids. And so the technology of the ancients, talking about Atlantis and cities and stuff like that, that's recent on a scale of maybe 4,000 to 5,000 years, but the extinction event was 70,000 years ago. Okay, well, unfortunately, that's it for Science Fantastic. Once again, join us every week by giving us a call at 612-564-8135, and maybe you can get on national radio with your question. So this is Dr. Michio Kaku for Science Fantastic.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.